Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Mowing your lawn is theological. Ain't everything theological? Exactly my point. This is Wretched Radio. Mowing your lawn has a worldview behind it. You see, in the Midwest, specifically Minnesota, the land of sky blue waters, which was the jingle for Ham's Brewery. I don't know if they're still in business. We were watching a show, Tender Mercies. Tender Mercies. It was rated PG. And we thought, let's watch it. It won 2 Academy Awards. Robert Duvall playing Robert Duvall. All of his movies should be. This time, Robert Duvall plays a cowboy. This time, Robert Duvall plays a drunken country singer who gets his life cleaned up, because it just always feels like the same guy, pretty much. Nevertheless, he was a country singer. Apparently, life got a little hard. He ran to the bottle for his comfort, destroyed his marriage, destroyed his career, finds himself in the middle of nowhere, Texas, in a motel where the woman who owns the motel, because her husband had died, she lives there with her son, allows him to live on the property as long as he stays sober and fixes the property and does some maintenance work. And things are going well. They get married. They're going to church. And this was so wild. There were a couple of church scenes where they actually sang the entire verse. No, have you ever noticed that in movies? They'll sing a line, but then right before they get to the name Jesus, then we cut away. They didn't do that in this movie. It was in the 80s. I think Robert Duvall professes to be a Christian, and I think he brought that to a lot of his projects. It was kind of refreshing, honestly, but the old demons came knocking, and Robert Duvall decides to go running around town in his pickup truck, and he stops at a liquor store, and outside of the liquor store was a sign that was promoting Schlitz beer. Jimmy, do you know what Schlitz beer is?
I do not.
Do you know what Schmidt beer is?
No, I do not.
And you don't know what Ham's beer is?
I do not.
From the land of sky blue waters. That's Ham's beer, okay. West 7th Street. Would you look up and see if they're still in business?
Okay.
Because they were right on West 7th Street by a Friel. We're not familiar with St. Paul geography. And then right across the bridge was an awning company. Let's see if they're still in business, shall we? Because all of those beers, they came out of the Midwest, where at least in Minnesota, yet we just got back on track. There's a trend to not mow your lawn. What is with that? I would suggest you worldview is with that. We have a mandate as human beings. We are the cream of God's creative crop. We are the ones that are to beautify the planet. Yeah, it is beautiful. Sunsets, mountains, all of those things are gorgeous, but God instructs us to take the thing that is untamed and tame it. Take something that is good like this and make it better by turning it into that. And throughout the ages, at least in Western civilization, at least for the last, let's call it at least 1500 years, there's been that understanding that we can not just mow our lawns to speak a word about who human beings are. We're the lawn conquerors. And we're the ones who manage the lawn. The lawn doesn't control us. We don't just live in the woods. No, we cut them down if we need to, and then we build cool houses and fences with them, and we mow the lawn. That comes from a higher view of man. So much of what we witness these days is anthropological. It all has to do with our view and attitude toward man. The view that says we are just like the sea slugs says you don't need to cut your lawn. In fact, you shouldn't cut your lawn because, you know, grass cries too when you cut it. That's a worldview issue. But so too, related very directly to it, is architecture. We used to build things to beautify. We used to make buildings that would uplift the human spirit. I'm not sure I'm totally nuts about that phrase, but I think it has some meaning. That you can walk into a building and you just sense, okay, this is loftier. I need to sit up straight here. These are human beings that actually care about what other human beings view and how they feel when they view them, which is why, is Ham still open, Jimmy?
Technically, yes, but they sold out in 1999.
Wow.
And they are still brewed by the same company that brews Coors beer.
Coors?
Mm-hmm.
I do believe it's Coors.
Whatever.
Is how you pronounce
Coors,
it in Denver. Okay, but isn't it more like the only reason I know this, I drive by it from the airport on the way to Candyland. down St. Paul. I think it was one of those, what do they call those beers? It's really popular where they're boutique beers.
Oh, yeah, craft.
Yeah, craft beer.
Right.
Is that what it is?
I think so, yes.
What is it called?
I don't know.
You did not dig deeply enough. Fine. The proclamation from the president, this was one of the statements that he signed when taking office, actually made me happy. Now, I know not everybody agrees because we talked about this a little bit last week because I discovered a website, an Instagram site that contrasted classic architecture, classic art, with modern art and modern architecture, asking the question, what happened here? how do we go from, wow, look at that ceiling. That arch is amazing. That statue is so lifelike, but it's marble. That's amazing. And now we put up a piece of canvas with paint splattered all over it. What happened here? I think anthropology, that art, it moved from uplifting and being inspiring to being shocking or to being deconstructionist. That's what the modern art is. Modern art says to classic art, we're done with you, old stupid. We're not going to follow your lines and your curves and your patterns. No, we're going to make it sharp and severe just to show you we're smarter than you. And so the president issued this proclamation promoting beautiful federal civic architecture. I hereby direct the administrator of the General Services Administration, blah, 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 to submit to me within 60 days recommendations to advance the policy that federal public buildings should be visually identifiable as civic buildings and respect regional, traditional, and classical architecture. In order to uplift and beautify public spaces and ennoble the United States and our system of self-government. That's worldview right there. Such recommendations shall consider appropriate revisions, blah, 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 blah. In other words, we're going to spend the money to make government buildings speak a word, to have them say, we're a society that's higher. We're a society that believes that human beings can be beaten down or lifted up through architecture. Now, I think I mentioned something like that last week. Received this email in my never before nicotine-stained fingers. This is very, again, everybody's so gracious. I like being a Christian. He wrote this, these old cathedrals were often built on the back of a feudal system and with state church financing. Yeah, no, that's true. No argument there. But our federal buildings are built that way today. Churches are usually not. In fact, I can't think of an instance where today the government would ever fund the building of a church. Tax breaks, sure. Contribute money, doubt it. But what we build as a church is on us, but it also speaks a word. So I grant you, the old Duomos of Europe, there was perhaps corrupt money behind those, but I don't think that diminishes the point that something looks like, wow, one of my fellow planet inhabitors made that. I'm a part of the human race. This is a good thing. I don't want my taxes spent on pretty buildings in Washington, D.C. You know, I feel that, Mike. I do. I get that because you want it to be used efficiently. But sometimes things can be built in a way that it actually fosters more flourishing, that people are more productive. I think this is pretty scientific, a workspace that human beings feel like it's good to be here. Hey, I'm doing something important. It's comfortable. Great. Got all of that, but it's ergonomically sound and I'm feeling good about this. And the lighting is nice. I'm not in a dungeon someplace. And people become more productive. And I think the same thing can happen with architecture. You've got citizens that are elevated in their thinking about humanity. I think that there can it can actually put some curbs on people's behavior. I don't want to be destroying stuff when people are building it up. Why would I want to be tearing it down? And so economically, it might actually be a good investment. He said, those buildings produce nothing to maintain themselves. Well, I know it might be softer, but I think they do in just human productivity. And also, if you ask people in Europe, they're very grateful those Duomos exist because tourism bring. Why is it that when people go on a trip, on a vacation to Italy, they're like, okay, so I went to Florence and I saw the Duomo. Why didn't you go see that little modern church that they built in 1994? Well, I don't know, because there's nothing special about that. Bingo. Architecture speaks. Your front lawn speaks. Theology and anthropology. What's your yard look like? This is Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have eight fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to fortisplus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. FortisPlus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Knowledge is power, but only when applied. Like a story I heard about on the radio the other day, this woman worked a job for a tech company previously, and she stopped working at some point to be a mother. Years later, realized that the stock options they gave her were worth millions. Imagine having a bank account filled with millions of dollars, never using it. Well, that's theology without application. Introducing Integrated with Dr. John Crotts.
We'll help you connect head and heart, turning Bible knowledge into life-changing action.
Thank you, Dr. Crotts. And at Fortis Institute, listen, we're standing strong in a world that's losing its way. Our name means strong in Latin, and that's our promise to you. Visit fortisinstitute.org or download the Fortis Plus app today and start listening to Integrated with Dr. John Crotts, and then join us in standing firm no matter the cost, because in a world that's falling apart, we're building something strong. FortisInstitute.org. It's FortisInstitute.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not that we need more proof the world has gone bonkers, but we got it for you. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you did some sleuthing on Hamm's Brewery in St. Paul, and somehow you got lost.
I did.
You are not familiar with the Twin Cities, are you?
I am not.
Hamm's is on West 7th Street. It's firmly in St. Paul territory. You found a brewery on 2nd Street in...
Minneapolis.
Do you hear the difference? St. Paul, Minneapolis. Do you hear it?
I do.
I don't know if it's... Is it paternal or fraternal twins that look identical? Whichever one it is, the Twin Cities are not identical. They are definitely different. Minneapolis, high-rises, glass, the city of lakes, pristine. It used to be anyway. And then St. Paul was European. Gorgeous architecture and Crocus Hill. If you like Victorian homes and those mansions, whew, what it costs to heat those places. That's something a Minnesotan says regularly. And it's not just blocks or a couple of blocks. It's like miles. It's like a couple square miles of all Victorian. Gorgeous, because they were all built back when human beings used to care about the type of domicile that people lived in and what it spoke and what it said and the lines and the designs. Were they pleasing to the eye? Do they make you feel good when you see it? We used to care about those things, but then Hamm's Brewery opened and people forgot about it. But now Hamm's Brewery, you say, is still open.
I think so, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. But you found a brewery in Minneapolis.
I did.
And they're making beer that's laced with...
THC.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Well, they do have some morals. The beer, the drinks with THC are non-alcoholic.
Well, good. I'm glad. You don't want to overdo it.
Yeah. They even have a sports drink that has electrolytes.
Oh, good. Well, so it's healthy. So while I'm passed out, my body's repairing itself. That's or it. Something like that. Mrs. Friel was on about this weekend. She was reading went down some rabbit hole with marijuana. Let me rephrase that. She was reading about marijuana because something caught her attention about the potency of it. Like some of them are like 99% THC. Yikes. This is not your Cheech and Chong type of marijuana. This stuff is nasty business and it is powerful. And I was thinking we had this conversation this weekend. It's like the governments that sign the legalization of marijuana, are they just that dumb? Really? Just, are we that dumb? What, heroin next? LSD? Well, we're doing that with mushrooms. Hey, that lion's mane is a mushroom thing. Is that what you got me doing?
No.
This is we want people to get dumber, and they're seeing that the side effects of this, what it is doing to the human brain, because it's so powerful. And it was all snuck in under the guise of medicinal marijuana. Then why didn't you run it through a pharmaceutical company? Oh, yeah, because there was an agenda behind it. Once again, deconstruction, low view of humanity. They would say, no, it's a high view of humanity. We need to let people get stoned if that's what they want to do with their own bodies. That's a low view. A high view says, no. That's an image bearer of God. And we know better. And we're not going to let them do that to their bodies. And we're going to work very hard to make sure that they don't destroy themselves and their families. But that's not the way we think anymore. We've absolutely gone totally bonkers. Here's another one for your consideration. Pornography. Even inside of the church. Well, it helps some marriages remain zesty. Are you nuts? Are you kidding me? There's nothing worse for you, for human beings, than watching that. Why? Because you're not supposed to. Why? Because it is a sign of the fall. It's a reminder that human beings do not live in a world that is pristine. It is a cursed world. And we're not supposed to be looking at other people like that. And that is, every time that we do that, we're saying, Genesis is wrong, which really upsets Ken Hamm, and you do not want an upset Ken Hamm. You know, that Answers in Genesis. Matt was just up visiting Answers in Genesis, and he just came back this morning, and he spent time with guys like Mark Loy at Answers in Genesis. And I said, so tell me, what do you think about Mark Loy? And I think his word was, what a gentleman. They're so gracious. That's an institution that is just populated with godly men. It is such a joy. And there's godly women there too. Dr. Dana Snead from AIG, she's been writing our curriculum as of late for all of our resources, which, by the way, did you know that all of the curriculum is now free at Fortis Institute? So if you've got Road Trip to Truth, but you don't have the study guide, you can go get it for free. You got Wretched Worldview, you can go get the study guide for free. All of that stuff. We just want to give as much stuff away as we possibly can. And I don't know that I made much ado of this, but I'm going to right now. The goal that we had for the end of the year, we had a matching gift. You exceeded it. It was simply awesome. And we're so grateful. And what we want to do with it is not stockpile it. We want to just, it's like, how do we just get the word out more? That God has a better way for your life. That God is zealous for good things in your life. He's not a party pooper. He's the one that he throws the best party. And the best party is doing everything his way. And his way is one man, one woman, in a one flesh relationship. Which, by the way, I heard a really great line about this, and I'm actually thinking about somehow turning this into a marriage sermon because I get to officiate a wedding in June. Oh, the kids, they're so doughy-eyed and romantic. It's so fun to watch. You just walk by and you go, I feel that. Wedding, you two kids, they're in our church. They're going to be getting married. And I don't know that I'll do this ultimately, but I just heard a line. In fact, maybe it was Libby Glosson who said this. Her podcast is coming out very soon at Fortis Institute. It was when you get divorced, you're cutting the relationship. You're severing the relationship. Would you cut your own flesh? And the answer, maybe it was Greg Gifford on Transformed. I'm sorry, I'm getting our fellows confused. Would you cut your own flesh? Would you do like take something to harm your own body? Well, that's what you're doing with a divorce. You're cutting your body because you are in a one flesh union. It is that tight. And that union, ordained by God, has limits to how it can behave. And those limits make it the best party on earth, not the worst. They make it the best. Everything that God says is, we can buck against it, we can argue about it, and we can resist all we want to, but we're just plain wrong. God's ways are the best ways. And so it is when I read this article. I kind of hate to give this short shrift because it was so good. It was written by Virgil Walker over at G3, who, by the way, you can go see Virgil Walker. We did the Martin Luther King theology thing. It's on the YouTube machine. He wrote an article that was like, way to go, dude. Way to go. It was uplifting. We'll spend more time with this another day, but the opening line says this: the battle for purity isn't about repression. Huh. That's at least neutral, if not positive. You mean God isn't stymieing my fun? He's not oppressing me? Instead, it's about allegiance. Single men are called to fight for their king, preparing their hearts for a life that glorifies God and honors the covenant of marriage. The fight is not just a call to resist sin, but an invitation to pledge allegiance to Christ, the true King. Now, isn't that elevating? I hope that's what Play the Man, it's a booklet that I wrote on the subject of pornography, seeks to accomplish, pulling us up to a better thing. God's ways are better. Okay, I've got a cup of throat coat tea right here. Because it's delicious, isn't it, Jimmy? Especially the licorice flavor. Okay, if there were a verse in the Bible that said, don't drink throat coat tea, I'm putting it down. Much as I enjoy it, I think it's really good for my throat. I think. But God says it's not. Then who do I agree with? Who do I side with? It should be a no-brainer. Him. His ways are right. His ways are just, his ways are true, his ways are lovely, his ways are worthy of praise. Everything about his dictates and demands, he does have those, aren't just to wreck your fun. They're to enhance your life. And in other words, God's view of anthropology is a little higher than most architects these days. From Virgil Walker, it's not just a matter of personal holiness. It's a preparation for something greater. Purity is training ground for the faithful husband you're called to become, or the undivided devotion of a man wholly dedicated to the Lord. It's not a checklist for spiritual discipline. It's a declaration of worship. It's a preparation for a life that glorifies God in every thought, word, and deed. That's what God wants for you. And you know, you've got to know it's the best way. Why? Because it's His way. And everything about His ways are good for you. How you doing in your battle against porn? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.